We're going to talk about are you positioned in a minute. First, I just want to say I dress different today. See my outfit? You know, I've been asking God how he wanted me to dress. And I can't find anything. I can't find any jeans that fit, which I love living in. And then I thought, well, maybe he wants me to wear dresses and be more feminine. You know, all the dresses are too short or too low cut or too everything. So I couldn't find any dresses. But my idea of what I thought I should look like was like an old-fashioned mom or grandma, you know. Give me a Lucy dress, mid-length, and, you know, just look all soft and cuddly like a mama. That's what I thought I should look like. That would be godly woman, you know. And I couldn't find the clothes. So yesterday when I was praying about it, I got the thought that God said, why don't you dress the way you paint? And I went, well, now that'd be wild because I paint abstract paintings, you know. That would be crazy. What am I going to do, paint my clothes? Because they don't make them that way. So I went walking the mall last night, and I saw this. I said, I would paint that. It looks like one of my pictures. And then I always wanted to do my hair like the 1920s, you know, with that thing on top. But I didn't have the nerve. So I said, well, I'm going to be all brave this morning. I'm going to do that too. So this is the new me. I am my own canvas now. I'm really sorry for you because there's no telling what I'll go around looking like. Well, the message of that is true independence, being you. You know, the young people today, and they've done this throughout generations. I don't want to be like everyone else. I want to be different. Now, let me ask you, how different is purple hair, green hair? It's not different because they're all doing it. How different is a mohawk when they're all doing it? How different is an eyebrow ring or a tongue ring? They're all doing it. So who are they different from? They're different from our generation. They're not different from each other. True individuality is you being you, even if nobody else is doing what you're doing. Or if you're dressing just like your neighbor because that's how you feel comfortable. So I'm just inviting you to freedom. I'm inviting you to do the crazy. Do you ever have a little thought of something you'd like to wear or how you'd like to do your makeup or hair or... Do you ever have a thought of something but you didn't quite have the nerve to do? I'm looking at this Hawaiian shirt over here, you know, in the freezing cold weather. Yay for Grace! She did it. I remember when I was 16, we decided we were going to wear men's. You know how men wore dress white shirts back then, but they were like miles long and they tucked them in? So all of us girls decided we were going to wear them. So I think it was kind of the beatnik thing, you know. Anybody remember beatniks? Maynard Gibbs, well, I don't know what his name was. Anyway, so we got big, old, long men's white, bigger the better, roll the sleeves up, and the shirts were down to our knees, you know. What do you want to do that you don't have the nerve to do? Decide to do it. Let's make this a place where you're free. Do it. You want to come to church in pajamas next week? Do it. Let's have a come-as-you-are church, as long as it's decent and modest. Be you. Because maybe God wants to say something unique and different through you. And you need to let him get free. You know, back when my husband was doing all the preaching and I wasn't allowed to, I would come up with stuff all the time. And I would try to get him to do it. You know, so I'd come up with messages about a soldier of Christ. Come on, put on the soldier outfit, you know. He wouldn't do it. But I was always coming up with crazy outfits I wanted him to wear that matched a sermon that I wanted to preach. So maybe God will let me do it. I don't know. Anyway, that has nothing to do with our message. I just wanted to say it, so I did. Are you positioned? Father, the ladies and I have been back there praying. We've had a good time in your presence this morning. And our heart was to see your presence this morning, to experience you. Because if you don't come, God, then we're just wasting our time. Please come. Please bind any spirits that are against you. Please capture the atmosphere this morning. Capture and fill the atmosphere with your presence. Lord, you might just flood this room and some people won't even know it. They won't even recognize you. They won't even sense that you're here because they're captured in fear or pride or worry, hate, bitterness, whatever. So they don't even know. So God, I ask you first to come and deal in each person. And I invite each person, make a choice. I don't want anything between God and I today. I want to hear my God when he speaks today. I want to experience him and know him deeper. I want to own what God is doing. So I reject pride, fear, intimidation. I reject my own selfishness, my worry, my problems, my needs. I just lay it all down and invite you, God. I want you, God. Open us up, Lord. Open us up, Holy Spirit. Search us and prepare us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, a long time ago, a couple years ago, I keep going back on our web and I see these old sermons. Apostle Steve came right after we talked about getting in your position. Apostle Steve came and he preached a whole thing on it is time for you to get in position. And I thought about that this morning. I went to walk this morning, and I've got my iPad with our website, and I'm like, shall I listen to a sermon? Can I play some worship? And God said, just shut it and walk in silence. And I'm like, okay. Well, it's really hard for me sometimes to control my fleshly brain, get so distracted. And I'm trying to walk in silence, and I'm thinking about everything in the world, you know. Music helps me stop doing that. But it worked this morning, and I got in silence. And as I was in silence, I started thinking, what if we had a major attack in the church right now? Spiritual attack. We really don't have watchmen on the walls. We used to have 4 or 5 watchmen who came knowing their position and stood on the corners of the church and watched in the spirit realm. They prayed. They prepared themselves. They stood their position and they said, God, open my eyes to see what's going on. So if there's any danger coming, I know and I can hear and ask you, what do we do with it? Now, we had attacks that came and we dealt with them like that because the watchmen caught them coming. But lately, we don't have watchmen standing guard. Maybe you're a watchman and maybe you're watching from your seat. But I haven't had watchmen very much coming and telling me. And God said, where are the watchmen? Why aren't the watchmen on guard? Who are the watchmen? You know, I could name who they used to be, and maybe they are still the same, but maybe there's new watchmen. Are you a watchman? If you're a watchman, are you in your position? Are you on the wall, and are you watching? Are you watching with your own eyes? There's somebody that has a particular gift of God, like teachers have, but they have a gift that God helps them see in the spirit realm, and they can see what the enemy is up to and what he's doing and stop him in his tracks or come and warn the leadership. So if you think you see what the enemy is doing, please contact us and let's talk about training you up as a watchman. Now, there are people that have that anointing and they're not positioned where they belong. So they're always seeing what the enemy is doing and going into panic because they don't know what to do about it. That's why you must get trained and positioned. Are you in a powerful position? Is your gift working? Are you really seeing and then knowing the wisdom of God? Because your number one position is positioned in the presence of God, walking and living in the presence of God. Because if you're not in the presence of God, then you're useless as a watchman. Are you called to be a teacher? Are you placed? If you are called to be a teacher, are you in training? Are you learning to teach? Are you standing before someone and teaching them? And then what are you teaching them? How do you know what to teach them? Do you know what they need next? Who they are, who God is making them to be, and how to get them there? Your number one position is to be positioned in the presence of God. As their teacher, asking him, God, walk with me. Walk with me about Rick. Tell me what Rick needs. God, if I'm the teacher of Steve, tell me what Steve needs, because I don't know. I can look at him in the flesh and tell you all kinds of things I think he needs. Maybe I think he needed to shave or, you know, whatever. I can only see him in the physical, but I don't know what's going on in his spirit. Any position you're in, first of all, you need to be in it or being trained to get in it. And then your first position is positioned in the presence of God. Intercessors, are you praying? And just stop for a minute and think about it. What are you praying about? What does your prayer list consist of? The things you see physically? The things you want God to do? Your desires of your life? If you're called to be an intercessor, that means you are called to pray whatever God wants prayed about. Because he works through prayer. He has us speak it forth, which releases him to go forth and do it. He has restricted himself to working through his people. So he calls his intercessors. If he's wanting to pour out a revival in a place, he's going to call people together to pray exactly what needs to happen to open the door for that revival. So if we're only praying, oh God, I really need to pay my rent. Please provide the money to pay my rent. Oh God, my child isn't getting saved. Please save my child. That's good. Pray those things. But if you're positioned as an intercessor, what is it he wants you to intercede about? You have to be positioned in the presence of God to know. You have to be with God to know. Where's the intercessors for this ministry? God wants to do something here. Has he called you to be an intercessor? If you're called to be an intercessor, you need to be meeting with the other intercessors and finding out what he wants to do here and how we pray it in. Are you called to be a parent? You have children. They are not sent to see if you can pull all your hair out before you turn 40. They are not only here to teach you patience, which they will do. They are not only here to teach you sacrifice, which you will learn to do. But they're here for you to train them. For you to teach them and train them, pray for them. You are everything. You're their pastor. You're their intercessor. You're their teacher. Your mom and dad. Who is that child, each one of them? Who are they? Do you see their gifts? Do you see the distractions in their life? Do you know what God wants for them and what they need? How to pray for them? How to raise them? You have to be positioned with God in his presence to know that. How do we get there? Because I got this morning, you know, I'm like walking to dead silence and I'm going, okay, God, I really want your presence. Do you ever get the thought, okay, I really want the manifest presence of God to come in my life right now. How do I get him to do it? How do we get him to do it? You worship? Do we not know that God loves worship? If we worship him, he'll come, won't he? So do you ever try to worship? You just show up. Have you ever shown up and it seems like he didn't? You get there and you're going, here I am, God. Here I am, God. Here I still am, God. Right here, waiting for you. It's been 30 minutes, God. I'll try to worship. Do you ever try to worship when you're not feeling worship? And you're going, you are so wonderful. What else can I tell him? I said that yesterday, you know. You're kind and gentle and good. And let me say everything good I know about you. And you're trying to worship. But it's just not coming natural. He's not showing up. I kind of got stuck there for a while this morning. I'm like, okay, maybe you just want to talk to me. It's still quiet, no music. Maybe you just want to tell me something. What do you want to tell me? No words are coming. I don't know how long I walked in this silence, waiting. And I'm like, okay, I give up, God. I don't know how to get in your presence this morning. I could listen to preaching and it would take me wherever the preacher is. I could listen to worship and it'll take me into something. But where are you for me? How do I come in your presence right now? And he said, why don't you go get out your pen and paper? okay, I'm run upstairs, quit walking, and start writing down what you have to say. First thing I wrote was, I can't do it. My flesh is a hindrance. It's powerfully against me, wants to distract me. And then when I don't feel worship, it wants to condemn me for that. And when I don't hear God speaking, I want to start searching, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't God want to come to me right now? You know, I can't do it. I cannot do it. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Our flesh is our enemy. Our flesh is God's enemy.
Right.
You know, we want in one instant. I mean, we go about doing our day, doing our stuff, doing our work, and we love God. But then, when we find time for God, then we want to come and say, now I'd like to feel your presence. Now I'm in the mode. Now I'm in the mood. Now I'm desperate. Right now, I'd like an experience with God. Some people wait all the way Sunday for that. Some people wait all, I mean, they just live their life all week, and then they run in church on Sunday and say, God, I want your presence this morning. Make the worship really good so they take me into your presence. I'd love to feel God this morning. And then I just fill up on knowing he loves me, and I can go run all week again and do my life. Once in a while during the week, maybe we take 30 minutes and say, well, I don't want to leave God out of my life, so I'm going to sit down and want his presence right now. Fill me up with feeling your love, and then I can get up and go do what I need to do. Sometimes he does that. Sometimes. But that's not what he wants. That's not what he wants. Well, let's get back at our flesh for a minute. Romans 8:8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:1. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. You know, sometimes we just live so fast in the flesh. The flesh does all kinds of stuff, and then it beats us up for doing it. The flesh says, you don't want to pray right now. Flesh says, you don't want to read right now. Flesh says, yeah, let's just go eat right now and watch a movie. You know, we're tired. Let's just go do that. And we do it. And then the flesh says, you are such a bad Christian. You could have been reading the Word, but instead you watched a movie. Oh, woe is me. Condemnation. There is nothing good in our flesh. I hope that God will just open your eyes up to this. You are trapped in a sinful fleshly body, and you can't get away from it. As long as you're stuck in this flesh, you are plagued with sin. You are plagued with flesh. You not necessarily have to be plagued with sin, because Jesus was trapped in flesh too, but he didn't sin. But he had to fight his flesh all the time not to sin. Said he was tempted in every single way that we are, yet without sin. That means he wanted to eat when he fasted 40 days. He didn't just go, I am God and I will self-sustain. He looked at that little lizard and said, I could eat that thing. He looked at that locust and said, John ate one today, locust and honey. I'll take that baby and dip him in that honeycomb. He was hungry. Said after 40 days, he hungered. If you fasted 40 days, you would know what hunger was. When all of a sudden grace of God was lifted and you're back in the flesh and your flesh is going like you've got a pit in the middle of your belly saying, feed me! And the devil come along and said, just turn that rock into a loaf of bread. You got the power to do it. But he didn't have the permission to do it. He could not live as God. He had to live in the flesh, just like us, and resist that flesh, just like us, by depending on Father God, whom he stayed in fellowship. He walked in the Spirit. He walked with God and fought the flesh. Now, everything our flesh does isn't sin. he did not sin. Wanting to go and get a Coke may not be a sin, but it might be a distraction. Wanting to go up and work and paying the bills is certainly not a sin, but it could be a distraction. Our flesh is distracted. Our flesh is never pleasing God. The flesh cannot please God. Please understand that. Your flesh can't please God. Now the religious people, they say, I fast 3 times a week. I teach Sunday school. I tithe 50% of my income. And I don't watch TV. And I dress in black all the time so that I have no vanity about how I look. That's not why I do it. I do it to look thin. So I do have vanity. Now, their flesh is restricting itself into rules to say, I am godly. But they are not godly. They're proud. They're trying to make their flesh serve God. Flesh doesn't please God. Flesh cannot please God. See, he doesn't want to just come and pour his presence on us this morning. He wants us to learn to live in his presence, walk in his spirit all week long. And that's not easy because that old flesh just keeps yanking on us. But the no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When we obey the flesh, condemnation follows. It doesn't follow from God. It follows from our enemy. See, we got the flesh, and then we got demons, evil spirits. They want to come and whisper in our ear and condemn us. So every time we give in to flesh, evil spirits start whispering in our ear, what's wrong with you? Why did you do that? Why didn't you do this? All the time. Oh, yay for you. You did so good. They're always working through our flesh to condemn us. But if we walk in the Spirit, there is no condemnation. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on Jesus Christ. That's like wear Jesus. And I like that because wearing Jesus, we have Jesus inside, there's spirit, right? But what does it mean to put him on? It means the same thing as eat my flesh. When he said eat my flesh, 3 times he said it. That word eat meant devour what he did in his flesh. Devour the flesh life of Christ, how he lived it. But then 2 times it says, he that eateth my flesh. And it actually means wear. Wear the flesh I wore. Wear the same flesh. Put on Christ. Live the same flesh life he lived, that he exampled. We're going to read that in a minute. John 1:14. How do we put on Jesus? And the Word was made flesh. Jesus was made flesh. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, grace means a couple of things. It means the divine influence of God upon a heart and the effectual working in their life. It means the will, the desire, and the power to do what God tells you to do. As soon as God influences your heart to do something and you do it, there is power and ability to do it. That's grace. Jesus, in his fleshly body, was full of grace. Full of grace means he lived in this distracting, tempting, troublesome flesh that can't please God, but he didn't let it control him. He was full of grace. He was full of the influence of his Father. And he obeyed his Father, and therefore he had the power of God the Father, Holy Spirit in him, doing everything. Healing people, loving people, overcoming temptation. He walked in the Spirit. He did not trust the flesh. Now I'm sure, I thought about the temptations of Christ, because he was tempted in all ways that we are. That means thoughts came to his mind from the enemy, and he had to say no. Why did the enemy say, throw yourself down off this mountain? Because it says the angels, you know, if you even dash your foot against a stone, they'd bear you up. All the angels were at his disposal. If he threw himself off that mountain, the angels would have caught him and taken him right on to heaven. He might have left the flesh behind and died, but he would have gone on to heaven. Why was that a temptation to him? He could have got out of that flesh. He could have gone back to heaven. Nobody made him come here to die for us. He didn't have to do it. He wouldn't even have been in sin. He could have just said, not now, not me. I'm not going to do it. It had to be a temptation to him. He came here and he got rejected. He came here and he had to submit to parents who were sinners. And already by this age, when he was in the 40 days of temptation, already he had to have thoughts come to him. Why am I here? I mean, I know why I'm here, but these people don't even want me. They don't love me. They don't care. They don't deserve salvation. And I already know everything. I know that in the future, after I save one of them, they're going to get mad at me all the time. They're going to reject me all the time. They're going to disobey me, ignore me. And I'm going to be weeping my heart out because I love them and they don't, won't care. And when I'm ready to go to the cross and be have my flesh ripped off and be lied about and spit on, I'm going to be alone because my best friends won't care. They won't get it. I'm going to try to tell them, but they're not going to hear me. Yeah, I'd like to jump off a cliff and go back to heaven. I'd love to, Satan. And you know I'd love to. That's why you're tempting me. You know it's what I'd like to do. I'd like to go home. But I'm not going. And I'm not turning rocks into bread because I'm not feeding my flesh. I'm feeding my spirit by obeying my God, my Father. And I don't get the third one when the devil said, serve me and I will make you ruler of all these nations. He's already ruler of all the nations. He already had that power. He gave it up to come die for us. He appealed to his flesh. Right. But he appealed to the flesh of Jesus that you know you're God and you could be ruling. But if he was tempted in all points like we are, all points, what is it that tempts you? He felt it. He felt it and he wanted it. And he said no. But what he did not do was condemn himself. He did not condemn what his flesh wanted. We need to stop condemning what our flesh thinks and wants. We need to stop judging who we are by our flesh, because that's not you. The true you in the spirit, Jesus is in there. And that's why you hate what you do in the flesh, because you don't want to grieve him. You make that choice that your flesh says, gimme, gimme, gimme. And then you go, I hate me, I hate me, I hate me because I did it. It's not you. The real you is grieved because you want to walk in the Spirit. And God wants us to come to a place of realizing, recognizing the enemy when he does speak to us. If we could see him. I mean, I wish we had this spray can, you know, and this thought comes in our head. You are just a bad Christian. And we could go, psh. That was the devil talking in my ear. Now that I sprayed him, he showed up. You know, it's a spray that makes the evil spirit show up. Would you really stand there with this ugly, slimy thing in your ear telling you what to do and what to think? You'd run. I wish we could own that so that when he speaks to us, we recognize, I am not listening to you. You're bringing condemnation on my flesh. Well, if I did just sin, God, wash that away because you know I belong to you. And I'm sorry, and I don't want to do that. And it's done. We confess it. He forgives us. He cleanses us. Done. The devil says, no, it's not done. Put that back in your hand. Let's put some dirt back in your hand. It's not done. You're going to do it again. Well, I probably will because I hang out with you listening to you. If you weren't telling me do it again, just, you know, I can't wait until that boy is gagged and shut up for good. Jesus came to live in the flesh to show us how to do it. to show us how to do it. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Sorry. Flesh is flesh. Right. And flesh is the enemy of your spirit.
Right. That's exactly right.
And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. If you are born again, God has moved into your spirit. You have two yous. You have this flesh, and you have the real you in the spirit. Kind of schizophrenic. Which one are you going to listen to? John 6:51. Jesus said, I love this. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give you is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, they're already listening and going, how does he give us his flesh? He means his flesh is going to go and die for us, right? That's one way to look at it. It means he's living in the flesh for us. In 53, he offends them by saying, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, I'm telling you, if you accepted Christ, his spirit is in you. But except you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life. You have no life. You're walking around with dead man walking. Dead man walking. Walking in dumbness, controlled thoughts of the enemy, walking in hopelessness, walking in guilt and shame, walking in anger and fear. You're walking around in it because you're a dead man. You don't have life. Life of God is there, but you must eat his flesh. What does that mean? You have to live in the flesh the same way he did. Devour his flesh. How do we do that? I wish I had a leather Bible. Here, hold yours up. You know, here in my iPad, that's where it is. Right there. New Testament, flesh of Jesus. Read it. Devour it. Eat it. Digest it. Understand it. Pray for God to, how did Jesus do this? Why did he do that? When did he do this? Let me look at his life and nourish myself on how he lived in the flesh. That's how we eat his flesh. Get nourished on how he did it in the flesh. How do we drink his blood? We decide that our drink, our vitality, our life flow is going to be mercy and forgiveness. We must live by the blood and the power of his mercy toward others and self. Now, we come to the place and we say, okay, Harvey got up this morning and he looked at me funny and he was a little bit rude and got in my way while I'm trying to make his own breakfast and all that stuff, and I'm going to just forgive him. Okay, God, I choose to forgive Harvey. Please fix my heart. You know, ball's in your hand. Take care of it. And then I do something stupid or sinful, and I won't do that for me. I won't live by the blood of Christ toward me. I want to go around saying, I'm a bad Christian. I did it again. I'm never going to change. I don't like people. I'm not forgiving. I'm not good. I'm not loving. No, because you have no life in you because you're choosing to live in what your flesh is doing. You're living in self-condemnation. You're living with your ear glued to Satan's mouth, hearing everything he says about you, the accuser. And you won't give yourself the same mercy that you give someone else. God, I did it. I hate it. I'm sorry. Cleanse me. Done. Let it go. Forgive yourself. Live by the forgiving blood of Christ. The enemy only can work on your flesh, you know. Stop letting him. Just look at that flesh and go, one of these days I'm going to get free from you. Whoops. Wasn't going far unless I went with it. Oh, man. So that's how we begin to eat the flesh. Stuff our belly. In truth. He was full of grace and truth. You get truth by stuffing your spirit with the Word of God. There is the truth. Get full of it, because truth will dispel lies.
Right.
When the devil comes to lie, you know the truth to hit him back with it. Stuff yourself with truth. John 6:54. Whoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, And I will raise him up at the last day. That's a good thing. And this word means wear. It can mean chew on. But this Edith word, the first thing it said, it means to wear. Wear the flesh of Christ. Wear your flesh the way he wore his flesh. Wear Christ. Put on Christ. 55, he says, for my flesh is meat. To live exactly the way you saw Christ live it is power and strength. He didn't say it's milk for a baby. He said it's meat. When you begin to really devour the life of Christ in his flesh, I can do what he did in the flesh. He did it as a man. What did he do? Depended on God as a spirit. And that's what he wants me to do. Then I will have power and strength. When I don't trust my flesh, don't blame my flesh, don't love my flesh, don't obey my flesh, don't condemn my flesh, no condemnation anymore, the flesh is not me. I want to put on Christ. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. There's his presence. There's his presence, and there's the heart of what he showed me this morning. You want to come and you want to feel my presence right now, this minute. Come make me feel good. Come let me sit with you. Come let me feel your love. I need to just be with you. And he's saying, I want to be with you all the time. I want to dwell with you. I want to stay in your conscious mind. I want to hang out with you. I want to be with you. And I want to be with you all week. And I'm there saying, please stop listening to your flesh. Please stop beating yourself up. Please put that video game down for a minute. Please, let's hang out together. And you're ignoring me. And then you walk in on Sunday morning and go, please show up, God, because I want to be with you. He's going, don't take me so light. Don't take me so lightly. Like my presence is a toy. Like I am like, you know, go have a candy bar because I feel like having a sweet treat. I mean, he's not just a sweet treat. He's not just a fresh, refreshing Coke. He is a living being who wants to be in your presence all week,
right.
All day,
right.
All the time.
Right.
Now, we're not going to succeed at that, and then we're going to beat ourselves up. No, that's not the point. The point is begin to hunger for his presence in your life. When you don't want to go give the neighbor that pie he told you to bake, the neighbor that you don't like that keeps, you know, having their dog mess in your yard, and you go, I want to go over and tell him off. Jesus. And he goes, go over and take him some cookies. I don't want to. Do it anyway. See, you're in his presence now. No, it's not melting. It's not laughing and dancing. It's his presence in practical everyday life,
right.
In the flesh.
Right.
You're wearing him daily, walking with him moment by moment. And we forget to do it. I mean, you ever just go, trying to figure something out, trying to figure it out, and you're working in hours and hours trying to figure it out, and all of a sudden you go, I'm going to need to pray. It's come to that. I'm going to have to pray. Why don't we pray first?
Right.
You know why we don't pray first? Number one, brain is part of the flesh here that wants to forget. Number two, we get distracted. Number three, maybe we're afraid we won't like the answer. I'm trying to figure out how to get the money to buy a new car, God. I'm trying to figure it out. I could take this other job. I could sell this. I could do that. I could borrow from mom and dad. I could do this because I really want a new car. Why we don't pray is because maybe we're afraid he'd say you don't need a new car. Sometimes we just don't want to hear the answer. We just don't want his answer because we want to do what we want to do. We want to do what flesh wants to do. It's a discipline and it's training, and we don't get it perfect. But the more we desire his presence, the more we need to desire his presence every day, all the time in our life. The more we do, the more he will gladly show up, and he'll help us learn and practice to begin to walk in that way. Some of you have read the book Practice the Presence by Brother Lawrence. Remember that little book? Do you know when it was written? It was written during one of the darkest times in history. But Brother Lawrence wasn't overcome with terror and fear and darkness. He was overcome with the presence of God. The darker this world gets, terrorism and all kinds of wickedness and governmental overtake and one world order, the darker it gets, the brighter we ought to be getting in the presence. the more we ought to be walking closer to God and going, how wonderful is Jesus? I can't see the darkness because I'm blinded by the light. John 8:15. Oh, I skipped something. I think it's John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. Now, John 8:15. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Who are you listening to? He says, you are judging after the flesh. Stop. If you could just take you right now, I want you to do this. Think about yourself. Did you do everything you would like to have done for Jesus last week? That's probably a big no. Did you get mad at someone last week? That's probably a big yes. Did you fail to listen to God sometime and maybe not do that little thought? That's a yes. Did you sin in any way last week? Yes. Think about how you did it. Did you do it in your spirit? I just don't like Jesus anymore. And I don't want him in my life now. I don't like him. I don't want him. I wish I never knew him. Is that what you said? Where did you sin, in your spirit or your flesh? Where did you fail, spirit or flesh? Now, in your spirit last week, was there a time that you read the Word of God? And maybe he spoke to you? That was spirit, wasn't it? Was there a time maybe you let him love or touch somebody or help somebody? Did it feel good? That was spirit. Right now, do you love God? Do you want God? Would you love to live in his presence? Do you eternally want his glory to be seen on this earth? This is spirit. This is flesh. Which way are you judging yourself? Which way are you judging yourself? Are you condemning yourself for what your flesh has done? Or are you saying, I belong to Jesus because I am a spirit person? See, he says, you judge according to the flesh. I don't. I don't. God doesn't. See, all those mess-ups we do in our flesh. Now, if you're sitting there and going, well, cool, man, I'm going out and get drunk, go to a party, go out and sleep with some girl, and then I tell God I'm sorry later. Guess what? That came from your spirit. Premeditated, I want to sin and get away with it. But most of our sin isn't, I want to sin and get away with it. It's how the devil tricked us into thinking, and it was just totally flesh overcoming us. And it wasn't what our spirit wants. You know what? And if you have not the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to him, then yes, you just love to do all the sin because you're not born, you're not alive in the spirit kingdom yet. But if Christ lives in you, stop judging who you are in the flesh, because that's not you. He says, you judge according to the flesh. When you look at others, you judge in the flesh. When you look at you, you judge in the flesh. He doesn't judge us by our flesh. He judges us by what's truly in our spirit. See, he doesn't say, if you go out and commit adultery. He says, if you even think about it, you sit there and contemplate it, you sit there and lust in your heart and enjoy that life, then it's in your spirit. Then he judges it. But don't judge this battling flesh. Just desire God. Because people, we're moving on to Ephesians 6:12. As a church, as a body. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You think this is just your battle, you and the devil? No. We but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. The real battle is against what's going on in the spirit realm. It's against Satan trying to shut the mouth of Christians, stop the life of Christ flowing out of us. We got to stop letting him beat up our flesh and shut up our mouth. We need to get positioned in the very presence of God. And then He can position us within the body of Christ, where we won't be in the flesh as ministers. We will be in the presence of God, letting God flow through the position He puts us in. And power will flow here, because the principalities and rulers of darkness are unleashed today. And they are attacking. And we need the power of God. But we must be positioned in His presence. And we must set Him free. It's not really about the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:3, "For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh." 2 Corinthians 6:16, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." These voices that come to you, these thoughts that come to you, you say, "Well, those are not idols. I don't worship them." Yeah, you do. If you listen to them, you obey them, you hang out with them, you let them talk into your brain, they're your idols. They're your masters. They're telling you how to live. To be unequally... Hold on, I missed something here, didn't I? "For as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He wants to walk in us. He wants to dwell in us. He wants to live in us and through us. He had a purpose to create you. He had a purpose. You are here on purpose, with a purpose. You have a mission here, and you are to come and get born into God, His Spirit born into you, and then you are to walk with God, releasing God. To find out why you're here. How God wants to live through you. And let Him do it. 14, it says, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers." You know, a lot of times we take that and we tell people, don't go hang out with sinners, don't we? That's not what it said. Jesus hung out with sinners to try to win them. Who's the unbeliever? It's the devil. It's those satanic, demonic voices speaking to you. They're unbelievers. "What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness?" Why are you communicating with darkness? Why are you listening to darkness? We are a light. Why are we hanging out with and communicating with spirits of darkness? "What concord has Christ with Belial?" Right now He's calling it the devil. What agreement do you have? What agreement was Christ living in you? What agreement should He have with any devil? None. So don't listen to them. "What part is he that believes got to do with this unbelieving devil that's trying to put his thoughts in your mind?" Right. "Wherefore," verse 17, "come out from among them." Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. You know what that unclean word means? Demonic. Come out from listening to these demonic thoughts. Separate yourself and don't touch them. Now, I want you to picture that spray again. That thought comes. Recognize it's a demon. Spray your little spray. Ah, it's a demon. I'm not touching it. I'm not listening to it. See, I don't have a pocket today is my problem. I keep getting away from that. Do you hear? Don't listen. Don't communicate. Don't touch that demon that wants to put those thoughts and words in your ear. Don't do it. God said, "And I will receive you." Turn, yuck, Satan, get your hands off me, and run into God. Stop listening. He said, "I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You want to listen to the Lord Almighty? Are these nagging, lying, deceiving little spirits that keep picking on you through your flesh? 2 Corinthians 7:1. I think this is our last verse. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." What do we want to perfect? Holiness. What is His holiness? Love. mercy, gentleness, kindness, goodness, patience, faith. Let's work perfecting that. Let's practice this glory of God. Let's walk in His presence as much as we can remember to resist the flesh and the enemy, to walk with God all week long. And then let's come in Sunday and say, let's have a greater even outpouring of His glory here. Thank you, Jesus. We ask for you to breathe life on this message all week long, every minute, whenever those nasty spirits come to say their lies to us, their accusations. Please do this invisible spray and show them off for what they are, that we might not touch them, not hear them, not give in to them. Let us run into you. Let us put on the flesh the same way you are, resisting the devil. Make a way of escape that we can escape him and run to you. And stop condemning ourselves in the flesh. Thank you, Jesus.